Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We are Mark 11, and we're going to start in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Characteristic of faith number one: faith knows that Jesus answers. Jesus answers. We need to know that when we speak, when we talk with God, God answers us. And you have to know that. I love this. Jesus answered. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He answered these disciples of his, and he answers his disciples today. Are you a disciple of the Lord? One who disciplines himself to follow in the ways of your master. Yes. So then you need to know that the Lord answers you. And there's some psalms that we can look at that talk about how God answers. Psalm 81 verse 7 says, "You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah." Now notice those words, what the Lord says. He says, "You called in trouble, and I delivered you, I answered you." He's a God who answers. He's a God who answers you. Psalm 118, verse 5. "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord was too busy to hear my prayer." He had lots of other people to take care of that were more important and were ahead of me. No. "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place." You know, God doesn't want you your whole life walking the tight and narrow. God wants to widen the path under your feet and make life easy for you. He wants to make the Christian life easy for you. And so, in calling on him, he answered. Psalm 118, verse 21. "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." I will praise you. Praise you for what? Because you've answered me. Have you praised the Lord lately? You need to praise him for answering you. You need to praise him for saving you. Praise God. He's a God who answers. Psalm 119, verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." Psalm 138, verse 3. "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." We need to know that when we cry out to God, he's a God who answers. He's a God who responds to us. He's just as real today as he was back here in Mark chapter 11 when he answered his disciples. He's just as real today. God wants to answer you. So when we come to God, we come in faith, and faith knows God answers. It's a characteristic of faith. Faith knows God answers. All right? Then he goes on. So Jesus answered, back in Mark 11. Jesus answered and said to them. Notice, he said to them. He answered them. He said to them. He spoke to them. God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk to you. God wants to say things to you. Tonight, God, the Holy Spirit, wants to speak things to you. He'll take some of the things. He's given me utterance tonight to speak. And he'll take those words and he'll give you revelation and he'll tell you things. And you need to know that if you are his sheep hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. We're following the good shepherd and we know his voice. Are you his sheep? Then he said, you know his voice. You know his voice and you know the voice of the devil. And you don't want anything to do with the devil, right? You don't follow his ways. So thank God, Jesus, he answers when you call out to him. And Jesus speaks to you. Jesus will talk to you. He'll say things to you. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Notice he didn't say, get some faith in God. Did he? No, he didn't say, go get some faith. He said, have faith in God. Have faith. That word have in the original Greek language here, it means to have. That's profound. Well, to have is not to get. So when he said have faith in God, that word have, that means to have. You have this. You have faith in God. To have. It also means to hold. Hold fast. Keep. Own. Cling to. Be closely joined to. You know, just like in marriage, the two become one. Jesus said, have faith in God. Literally, that can also read, have the God kind of faith. What's he saying there? He's saying, you don't have to try to get this thing. You need to know you have this. You already got this. Now, cling to this. Hold fast to this. Keep this. Own this faith. Take ownership of it. Praise God, it's yours. Man, the God kind of faith is yours. Now rise up and take ownership of it. Act like you got the God kind of faith. Cling to it, hold on to it, and know that you have been made one with it by the Spirit of faith, by the Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of you. You've been made one with it. Wear it. That's another definition of this word have. Another one of the meanings. To wear. You wear this faith. You are joined to it. You're one with it. It's ours. Well, I'm trying to have faith. No, I'm trying to get it. No, you already have it. Now, if you go over to Romans chapter 11, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, people have taken that to mean, well, you know, you got to get in the word of God to get faith. But no, Jesus said you have the faith. You already have the God kind of faith, praise God. Take ownership of it, wear it, walk in it. You're one with it. You've been joined to it, now cling to it, hold on to it, cherish it. Treat it as the most valuable part of you, the most important part of your being. Because it's a part of your being. If you're a child of God, faith is a part of you now. And it's the most important part of you. So you cling to it. You hang on to it. Hold fast to it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So people have taken that to mean, well, you got to get in the word of God to get faith, but you already got faith. So what getting in the word actually does, when it says faith comes by hearing, that actually can be translated, faith comes forth by hearing. Because when you actually see that word used there, it's used when Jesus casts out devils, saying, come out. Come out. So faith comes out by hearing the word of God. Faith comes out. Faith comes forth. Somebody needs to get the faith of God cast out of them. You need to get it to come out of you. Glory be to God. See, we got faith in us, but now we got to get in faith. So you got the faith of God in you, But now you've got to get in faith, which means what? Which means you walk now in the faith that's in you. You're acting upon the faith that is in you. You're acting like you have the faith of God. You're taking ownership of the faith of God. And now it's coming forth from your life. Because there's people, they have faith in them. Oh, I believe Jesus heals. Oh, I believe Jesus this. I just believe Jesus that. I believe Jesus that. And they go to the graves, never experiencing any one of those things. They never experienced it in their life. But they believe in their heart. But it stays right there in their heart. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to step into it or step out on the faith of God that's in us. We need to walk in it now. Act like it's so, praise God. Demonstrate that faith. Be bold. Be bold in faith. Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, there it is again, Jesus speaking to you. Jesus speaking to you. It's personal. I say to who? To you. You got to know when you get in the Word of God, Jesus is speaking to me. This isn't just a general word. This is God speaking to me. God speaks to me from His Word. I come to church here tonight because God's got a word for me. Yeah, He's got a word for us, but He's got a word for you. Think about that. God's got a word for you. And you need to know that. You need to know God has a word for you. You need to take it personally. Take the Word of God personally for yourself. So faith hears from Jesus for itself. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed from me, cast. Notice that. Whoever. Do we have any whoever's in here? Well, then you qualify. You qualify for what Jesus wants to say and what Jesus wants to do. You got to know that you qualify. Faith knows that. Faith knows it qualifies for what God says. It qualifies. Whatever God says, I qualify for it. It's mine. I can have it. Well, you know, are you a good enough person? Or are you... Have you walked enough elderly people across the road? Have you bought enough Girl Scout cookies? Have you none of those things matter if you're a whoever. So general with the Lord, isn't it? The Lord, this is how the Lord is. Whoever could do this. You qualify for this. You qualify for what Jesus is saying here. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Notice that. Says to this mountain. Faith speaks to what it wants. Faith speaks to what it wants. Faith is not silent. Again, if faith is silent, it just stays on the inside. It doesn't go anywhere. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says that the spirit of faith believes with the heart and speaks with the mouth. I believed and therefore I have spoken. You got to believe what you got to speak what you believe. You got to speak what you believe. It's amazing how so many Christians keep their mouth closed and they don't speak what they believe. They speak what they feel. They speak what they think. They speak what they hear other people speaking. But we need to speak what we believe. That's what faith does. Faith speaks what it believes. Very important characteristic of faith. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, but believes. Faith does not doubt. Faith does not doubt. If you got any kind of doubt about you concerning something, then you're not in faith about that something. Simple as that. If you got any kind of doubts about it, you're not sure. Well, we'll see. I'll try. Maybe. All that is uncertainty. All of that is doubt. And there is absolutely no doubt in faith. Faith does not doubt. Without exception, faith does not doubt. So we got to move out of doubt if we're going to move into faith. We got to move out of the doubt to move into faith. Your doubts can't go with you. So how do we do that? Well, we gotta have to spend time with the Lord. We're gonna have to do what it takes to drive the doubt out, to get ourselves convinced of what the Lord has promised us, convinced of what we're saying or we want to say, what we want to speak to. We've got to get convinced about it. The Bible says in James chapter 1, it talks about faith. Let's go there. Hold your place in Mark, James, the first chapter. This is such an important part of faith, the characteristic of faith. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. How many people lack wisdom? How many people have asked lately of God for wisdom? Well, if you knew what I knew about you, you'd be asking God all the time for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's you. Let him ask of God. Thank God you can. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But watch verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Doubt can't receive anything from the Lord. Isn't that what it says? Doubt can. Now, and you got to know this too. He didn't say, let not that man suppose that God will give him anything. If you're a doubter, God's not going to give you a thing. That's not what he said. Because the truth is, God has, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of him. God's already given us everything we can ever want or desire in life. Ephesians 1 says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not a matter of getting God to give us anything. It's all about now you and I receiving from him. It's all about receiving. God, would you heal me? No, already did. I did that 2,000 years ago through the stripes of Jesus. You were already healed. You got to believe and receive that without doubting. You got to know, be fully persuaded. Jesus bore my infirmities. He took my sicknesses. He became a curse for me. I will not be cursed. I'm too blessed to be cursed. Jesus took the curse. I receive my blessing. I'm going to walk in my blessing. I'm going to walk in my healing. It's all about being able to receive. Faith receives or takes the blessing of God, the promises of God, the will of God for its life. It takes it. Takes it by force. It don't mess around. And you have to take things by force because there's always that devil that's trying to wrestle it from you. The devil's always trying to wrestle the blessing from you, but bless God, faith just takes it. Violently. By force. Because it knows. It doesn't patty cake with the devil. Doesn't sit there and say, well, maybe God does want me to have it. No, it's the devil trying to keep you from it. Take it. Get wound up about it. Get violent. Somebody smack themselves. Smack your neighbor. No, don't do that. When I was in kickboxing, that's what we would do. Before we got in the ring with Gary Kangasia. Guy was a crazy man. He was a monster. Fifth degree black belt. And he liked to hurt people when he lost his temper. So before you got in the ring with Gary, you smacked yourself. You looked in the mirror and you psyched yourself out. Because you couldn't go anywhere, Gary, like, you get your head knocked off. You had to go in there ready, conditioned, ready to fight. If you wanted to come out of there alive. Oh, I'm not kidding around. He had one student. He was preparing him for a tournament for a tournament that he was gonna make. His student broke his student ribs. Training him for the fight. Never made it to the fight. His own coach, teacher, sensei, master broke his ribs. I could tell you some stories. That last time I was in his gym, the last time. It was quite a night. He was determined to kill me. Thank God he couldn't. Thank God he couldn't. Praise God. Of course, God had a plan for my life. But one of the ways God helped me to fulfill that plan is by causing me to look in the mirror before I got in the ring with Gary, smacking myself in the face and having a medicine ball thrown on my stomach and psyching myself up. Because I had to be ready. Well, you got to be ready. Because there's that devil who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we're going to walk in the blessing of God, we can't be passive. Now, he's no threat to us, and I'm not worried about him at all, but you do have to be fired up in your faith. Praise God. You got to stir up that faith of God that's on the inside of you. Be excited about it. And have no doubts about the will of God for your life. No doubt about it. If you got any kind of doubt, the devil will level you. He'll keep you from God's best for your life. You can't have the doubt. And the devil sent all kinds of doubt peddlers into your life. People peddling doubt. You know, people think that drug dealers are to be, you know, I mean, a drug dealer, that's a bad thing. To be a drug dealer, that's a bad thing. Stay away from drug dealers. Well, you need to stay away from doubt dealers. Because doubt is worse than dope. Because if you deal with the doubt, you wouldn't be on dope. You wouldn't be hooked on dope if you didn't doubt. So you deal with the doubt, you'll never be on dope. Praise God. So notice, he says in verse 7, let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. It's about receiving. See, he says, you're not going to get a thing. Don't even presume you're going to get a thing. If you got doubt, don't come to God doubting and asking. You got to come to God in faith. Faith doesn't doubt. So that means what? He says, let him, verse 6, let him ask in faith. So let's get in faith first before we ask. This is so important. So many times people run and they're asking God for stuff and they're not in faith. They're not ready to ask yet. Sometimes you have to go to God and ask him to help you get in faith about something before you ask him for that something. Now, I know what I want. I know what I need. But I also know there's some wavering here. I feel weak. I feel weak in my faith in this area. So I'll go to the Lord and I'll pour my soul out to him and I'll cry out to him and I'll draw near to him and I'll get in the word of faith and I'll renew my mind and remind myself of the promises of God and I'll wash in the word and I'll feed on the word and I'll fellowship with the Lord and I get myself all built up in faith and so then I can rise up. Now I don't have any doubt and I can go in there and say, now Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask and I receive. That's how you ask. So we fellowship with the Lord. We talk with the Lord. Pour your soul out to the Lord. Be honest with the Lord. You know, you need to recognize when you got doubts and you need to talk to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, I got doubts. Now help me to get this doubt out. Help me to get this doubt out. Help me to walk free of doubt right now. Strengthen me in my faith in this area. You just have fellowship with the Lord. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that's going to help you to get the doubt out. You're not on your own. You can't do this thing on your own. It all comes out of hearing from him, fellowshipping with him. So we ask in faith with no doubting, which means we got to do our, we got to do business with God before we ask. We got to fellowship with God. And, you know, don't presume anything, because many times people do that. They're not spending time with the Lord. They're not spending time in the Word. And then they grab something from memory back over here, and they come to God and they pray and they speak things. And they're not really in faith. It's emotional. It's just emotion. It's just out of memory. But it's really not in faith. And we have to be honest. Sometimes you have to do little faith tests on yourself to check to see if there is doubt there. Because sometimes you might not think you have doubt, but then stop and just kind of like play the whole scenario through. Okay, so I believe that God's doing this for me right now. Now let's say something happens contrary to what I believe. And you kind of look at the scenarios and see, do you see, feel yourself wavering and doubting if circumstances or symptoms or something like that tries to oppose what you say you believe? Wisdom is able to see ahead. See ahead. Look ahead. Think ahead. Do I really? Now, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? How much endurance do I have here? How much do I really believe? And just poke around. See if there's anything that troubles you and causes you to doubt or get into fear in that area that you want to believe God for. And then just check it all out. And then no, praise God, I feel doubt proof. I feel doubt proof. Does not doubt, but believes. So faith does not doubt, but faith believes. Faith believes. And now this believing is a believing with the heart. Just like we're not doubting with our hearts, we're believing with our heart. It's a conviction. This is a conviction. I think that's another great way of describing this believing, this faith believing. It's a conviction. It's an inner knowing. You know something. You know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You know it's so. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't fully explain it because it doesn't look that way. But you know that you know that you know. It's a conviction. Faith believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Faith believes in what it says. Now, of course, faith believes in God. You got to believe what Jesus is saying here, right? Jesus is speaking. We believe what he says. We believe his word. But notice here, he says, you got to believe that those things you say will be done. Then you'll have whatever you say. Whatever who says? Whatever you say. So you got to be a man or a woman of your word. Yeah. You know, if you hear yourself lying to people all the time, then you're undermining your faith to be able to speak in faith. You got to believe in what you say. You got to know that you have what you say. You got to know, first of all, you got to be a person of your word. You got to have confidence in what you speak. You know what you're saying. You believe in what you're saying. And you know that God backs up what you say. How can I know God backs up what I say? Because Jesus said so. He said you'll have whatever you say. And I believe what Jesus said. I believe what Jesus said. He said I have whatever I say, so I believe what I say. I believe what I say because I believe what Jesus said, who said I have whatever I say. You got to believe that you have what you say. What you say is important because what you say is empowered by God. God empowers what you say. Because what you say in faith in what Jesus said about what you say. Right? So therefore, your words are empowered. Well, if you believe that, then you're not going to walk around and say, well, that just tickles me to death. I wouldn't say that if I were you.
Well, I'll be damned.
I wouldn't say that if I were you. I'm just so dumb. I can see why you would say that, but I wouldn't say that if I were you. And the list goes on of all the things people say over their lives and over their circumstances. We just don't have the money. We never have enough. I wouldn't say that if I were you. Why? Because you have what you say. So you're just going to keep having more of what you already have. So stop saying what you have and start having what you say. Change the direction of your life. Change your circumstances. Change your world by changing the way you talk. Because you have what you say. Now, a lot of times you don't see it instantaneously, but you have what you say. And so we need to believe that and build ourselves in that now. I mean, you know, I just cringe, you know, when people say certain things sometimes. Like, no, I don't say that. Or I'll say, you don't want to say that. I wouldn't say that if I were you. Because people are saying things that is just bringing about bad things in their life. Bringing about a desired end that they do not want. So it's a discipline, but you're going to have to start saying things differently. Faith speaks and believes what it says. It believes in what it says. So you're a person of faith. You're one with faith. You got to start taking control of your mouth. Get control of your tongue, and the devil will fight you for it. Devil wants to put all kinds of words in your mouth. He wants you to say all kinds of things, because if he can control your tongue, he controls your destiny. Whoever's got your tongue has got your destiny. So watch what you say. Don't let your temper cause you to say things you're going to regret afterwards. Let's just start saying the right things. Let's just speak the right thing, say the right thing, and hang on to that confession. And faith does. Faith keeps saying the right thing. And even though it looks wrong, it feels wrong, and I don't like the way this is going, bless God, hallelujah. God is working in this situation, and this thing is working out for my good. All things work together for my good. Right? How do things work out for you? It's a great opportunity to say something, because you have what you say. Now you get excited about saying stuff, if you believe this. Then you start getting excited about calling those things into being that be not as though they were. Doesn't look that way, but praise God, I say it's that way. I say to that mountain, I say to that. And notice, I say to the mountain. Jesus says, you'll say to that mountain. He didn't say, you'll say to God. God, move the mountain. No. He said, you'll say to the mountain. You'll say to the obstacle. You'll say to the problem. You'll say to the situation. You'll tell it to go, and you'll have what you say. Hallelujah. Boy, that gets me excited. I'm getting stirred up about this. Woo, hallelujah. You'll have what you say. People cry out to God, move it, Jesus, move the mountain. You know, I need you to move the mountain. Jesus is saying, you take care of it. You take care of it. Paul the apostle said, oh, God, I got a thorn in my flesh. Take it away, Jesus, take it away. He said, 3 times I went back to the Lord praying about this. Take it away, Jesus, take it away. Finally, Jesus said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul saw it. He said, here I am crying out to God, take away the thorn, and he's given me his grace, which is his power upon my life, to drive it out. And he rose up and he drove the thorn around. But Paul didn't go for the rest of his life with a thorn. He didn't die with a big thorn. That was the end of the thorn that day. Praise God. He got excited. He got excited when situations came where he was weak in the flesh, because he understood about the grace of God on his life, and by faith he tapped into the grace, the power of Christ, and he drove away those things that in the past would oppress his life. Man, those things that used to oppress us, no more. I'm not going to let it oppress me anymore. We have to wait around for God. God's here. He's here. He's already given you his faith. He's given you the God kind of faith. He's married you to it. You're one with it. Step into it. Take ownership of it. Praise God. You're one with the Spirit of God. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you. Praise God. He's talking to you again. Notice that. It starts off with him talking to us. He repeats again, for I say to you, in verse 23, he says, for surely I say to you, then here verse 24, therefore I say to you, God speaks to you. God talks to you. God's personal with you. Whatever things you desire, or whatever things you ask. Some translations say desire, some say ask. You say which one's right? They're both right because you're asking what you desire. Both are, or in the Greek, they both mean, they can, the word here can mean ask or desire. So he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask. Everybody say whatever. Wow. That could be a pretty big list. It's a whatever. It's whatever. See, we just read over in James 1, God gives to all stingily. Huh? No. God gives to all liberally. Right? Bountifully. Abundantly. Generously. That's how God gives. He said, well, I just don't know if it's the will of God. Is it good? Yes. Then God wants you to have it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? See, religion makes everything so hard. God makes it so easy. He said, all you have to be is a whoever that wants whatever. Do I have a whoever? Do you have any whatevers? Praise God. You can have it. You qualify as a whoever. And what you want, you can have if it's a whatever. Isn't this good news? This is like almost too much for some folks. That's why people resort, they go back to religion. See, they go back to this stingy, narrow, tight wad of a God. A tight wad of a God. That's some people's picture of God, you know. Hallelujah, that's a tweet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Boy, this is great, isn't it? I can have whatever. I can have whatever. Forget about this I dream a genie. You get three wishes. God don't give you three. I'll give you three things. No, God says, whatever. Whatever you want. All that I have is yours. That's what he said to the, remember the prodigal son? Prodigal son came back home to his dad, right? His dad was wealthy. His dad was a type of our God and our Father. And the prodigal son came home, and he killed the fatted calf for his son and did all these things. Then the older son, he was offended by it because he had always stayed loyal to his dad and everything else. He said, you never killed a fatted calf for me, and you never called my friends over to have a party for me, and you didn't do anything for me, and I've been faithful. I stayed here, and I've been working in your house, and this prodigal son of yours, he comes home after spending all your money, and you do all these things for him. And the father said, son, all that I have is yours. If you wanted a fatted calf, you know where the butcher knife is. If you wanted one of my robes, if you wanted one of my, if you wanted the chariot, if you wanted my one of the cars, take a cruise on the town, all that I have is yours. This is God the Father to you. Some of you are like the older son. You're sitting there saying, I've been very faithful. I go to church and I pray and I don't know why it's not happening. And God's like, the vault is over there. And you already know the combination. It's F-A-T. You know the combination. You know the combination. Go in there. All that I have is yours. The Holy Ghost is intoxicating me with these truths. These truths are intoxicating me. I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. I'm almost there. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Got to blow off some steam here. Praise God. Somebody shout. Hallelujah. Man. I'm a whoever and I can have whatever. All I need is to be in faith. Amen. With no doubting. I just got to believe. Praise God. Faith knows that God is more than enough. He gives you whatever. He's more than enough for you. God isn't running around saying, save the trees. Plant a tree for your tomorrow. God's not worried about the trees. Are you kidding me? You shouldn't be driving an SUV. And stop using water bottles. It's polluting the environment. I don't want to get off on all that. That's a poverty mentality. That is not God. God made the planet more than enough to handle all of you. In fact, everybody in the world can live in the state of California. You can fit everybody there and everybody can have an acre of land. That's how much room there is in the world. You're killing all the fish. We have one oil spill. You're killing all the fish. People like that, you want to tie a millstone around them, send them to the bottom of the sea, and help them to see that there's a lot of fish down there. Plenty of fish down there. Charlie. Oh, my goodness. All right. But notice this. Whatever things you ask. Everybody say ask. Yes. Faith opens its mouth and asks. It asks. James 4, verse 2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. People are fighting, they're killing, they're doing all these things to get it. And all they need to do is get in faith and ask. Ask in faith. Ask in faith. God will give you all you want. Right? I love what he said to King David. Here, King David, he sees this woman and he ends up committing adultery with the woman. And the Lord says these words to him. He says to him, because here he's lusting, he's coveting, he's warring, killing, to him, murdering, to obtain. And God says to him, David, I've given you this, I've given you this. And God lists off all these things, this great kingdom he's built and given to David. And he says to him, God says this to him. He says, and if that had not been enough, I would have given you much more. That's the heart of God. I would have given you much more. Why did you do this thing? Come to me and ask. I'll take care of you. I'll give you more than enough. I'll provide for you. Glory to God. That's the heart of God. So he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, because you pray every day. You do pray. You pray all the time. Prayer is a part of your life. Faith prays. If you're not praying, you have backslidden from faith. Prayer is what? It's communicating with God. Spending time in communication with God. Everybody say faith prays. Yeah, so when you pray, believe that you receive them. The things you've asked for, things you desire, believe that you receive them. When? When do you believe you receive them? When you ask. When you ask. Faith believes it receives when it asks. That's when faith receives. Faith doesn't ask for something and then waits to see if it's going to receive from God. Oh, faith already knows. God hears me. God's already said, all you have to be is a whoever and ask for whatever. And it's mine. So I just come and I take this now in the name of Jesus. When you ask for something from God in faith, you just took it. You don't ever walk out of prayer asking for something without having it, without having received it. You've received it. God's given it to you. You already knew that. It was already there available to you. And your faith took it when you asked for it. So your asking is receiving, or your asking is taking. Asking is an aggressive thing. Asking isn't just speaking words. Asking is taking. So we're taking when we're asking. Faith is taking when it's asking. When it's asking. So he said, believe that you receive them when you ask, and you will have them. You will have them. Faith believes it will have what it has received. I've received it. It's mine. Praise God. I know I'll have it. How do you know you have it? Because I've already received it. And you know, my favorite illustration for that is UPS. You know, you get the catalog out. Thank God for our catalog. Glory to God. You go through your catalog and you find something in there that you got need of or you desire. And then you ask for it in faith. And the moment you ask for it, that's like giving your credit card. I mean, it's done. You've already put the order in. When you ask for it, you put the order in. You went to the Lord. You said, Father, I just thank you. In your catalog over here, number 1 Peter 2:24, I'll take two of those, one for my knee and one for the elbow. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed, is what that says. So I'll just take from the catalog 1 Peter 2:4. Hallelujah. And then you could type it in. You ask for it, you've put your order in. You hang up the phone, it's done. It's done. And depending on how excited you are about it, you know, if you're really excited about it, man, you're almost anxious about that every time you see a UPS truck. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Every time you see a UPS truck, you get, oh, are they going to our house? I like these now. They give a tracking number. I wish God would give us a tracking number. That would really help. Wouldn't that be nice if we had a tracking number? You pray, you ask, you believe, you receive, and then you got a tracking number. A little app on your phone says the angel Michael is coming very quickly. He's carrying it, but first he's got to stop off over here in India, and he has to deliver a couple packages there, but he's making his way to you. He's got to get through the principalities and powers. Hook up with some other angels, the strong man of Louisville. Hallelujah. It'd be nice to be able to track it, but no tracking number. I can't promise you a tracking number, but bless God, we don't need one. We know it's coming, so just stay excited about it. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. Praise God. You're excited, not anxious, but you're excited about the arrival of your faith package. Can you say amen? So he says, you'll have them. Now quickly, verse 25, we have to hit this. Verse 16, he's still talking. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. You got to forgive. You come, you're praying, you're believing, you're in faith. If you got something against someone, if you're in faith, you're not going to be able to continue to have anything against anyone. You're going to have to forgive them. You're going to have to forgive them. Why? Because faith is merciful and forgiving, because faith works by love. Faith works by love. So he says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Faith receives forgiveness from heaven and has no condemnation about it. Hallelujah. Of course, it receives forgiveness when it repents. So we repent, we receive mercy from God, and being faith is so good at receiving mercy from God, who is faith to withhold mercy from others? And so faith, therefore, is merciful towards others. So, in review, characteristics of faith. Faith knows that Jesus answers. Faith takes Jesus' words personally. Faith knows it has faith and is not trying to get faith. Faith hears from Jesus for itself. Faith knows it qualifies for what God wants it to have. Faith speaks to what it wants. Faith does not doubt. Faith believes. Faith believes in what it says. Faith is personal. Faith knows God is a broad-minded, not narrow-minded God. He's liberal in what he gives. Faith opens its mouth and asks. Faith prays. Faith believes it receives when it asks. Faith believes it will have what it has received. Faith is merciful and forgiving. Faith receives forgiveness from heaven and has no condemnation. You say, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, you don't have to turn this into a mechanical thing. All these characteristics of faith, they flow just like the verses flow. You just read them and they flow. They're in there. Faith is in you. These things just flow out of your life. But by understanding these characteristics, we can make sure that we're in faith and we're not operating in something else like doubt and unbelief. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord for the truth tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.